79 days until the start of college football season. SEC spring meetings wrapped up about this time last week. I think it was last Friday. I wish I had been there. I know that for a couple of reasons. One, it was lovely Destin, Florida. And two, our guest was there. Join us now on the Saitama Hotline. Won a bunch of games at Duke, won a bunch of games at Ole Miss. Now he's got a cool title. He's working in the conference office. It's David Cutcliffe. Coach, how are you?
I am doing well, Scott. It's it's interesting, you know, to be on a different side of things in college football. But the reason I took this job is it's obviously something I'm very passionate about. And when Greg Sankey, the commissioner, called me to think about this, it intrigued me a little bit. I flew down here and visited with him, and I felt like it was a way still in my career and at my age that I could really contribute, hopefully something at a very difficult time, as we all know, for college football.
Coach, I like the title, Special Assistant to the Commissioner for Football Relations. What exactly does – well, hey, your business card is an index card.
Well, yeah. I didn't select the title. They did. I think you've probably heard me say it or read where I've said it, that it's kind of a Dwight Schrute title. If any of you watch The Office, I kind of laugh at it. My son immediately called me and said that. But, you know, it's never been done. This position was created by the commissioner, and it really is communication. I told him when we were talking, I can't think any other way other than a coach, and I can contribute that, but I can't think as an administrator. And right now, in my opinion, it's a critical time for coaches and administrators, both of all levels of administrators, to really communicate clearly. And so I just call it communication and building communication with relationships that are trusting, you know. So I think you have to build trust. You have to earn trust. And I'm doing that, you know, inside out, certainly here in the office, but most importantly with our coaches, 14 guys that I already knew really well. And, I'm here to help those guys and certainly the conference, but most importantly, college football. I got friends, as you know, throughout the entire profession all over this country.
Coach, I want to explore your position further. And obviously I want to go down the road and we talk about what's ailing college football because it's special to me. And of course it's given you an incredible life. But I have to ask you this. You say the only way that you can think is as a coach. How difficult has it been to get acclimated, for lack of a better word, to civilian life without coaching?
Yeah.
I mean, are you sitting around and you're drawing up ways to take out the garbage, or how did that go for you?
I'm busier than you might imagine. And you know what helped me was that I was a glutton for punishment. The whole time I was coaching, I served on any NCAA committee they asked me. I sat on the football oversight committee before that was started. It was the football issues committee. I was an American Football Coaches Association board member for about 15 years. And so I'm used to the discussions. I've gone to Indianapolis and sat in meetings. I've got friends that are, you know, that are boots on the ground workers in the NCAA world that are phenomenal. You know, everybody criticizes, quote, the NCAA. Well, there's some incredibly gifted people that are doing the day-to-day. And So I was really prepared to kind of think and know the story both directions. And I'm hoping that that's where maybe I can help. I'm on the phone talking to people in Indianapolis. I'm right now I'm working on a product of trying to see if we can to revise the recruiting calendar a bit, make some sense out of it. Also try to find a way to keep coaches having some normalcy in their life, some prospects having some normalcy in their lives. And I think people don't realize in this era, mental health is an issue with our young people that are in college and certainly athletes. And, you know, I'd like to see a way to keep our coaches on campus some. I've always referred to it as touches. You know how temperamental receivers and backs are about the touches they get? Well, I've always told coaches, you better get a lot of touches, and meaning contact with your current players. And so I'm focusing on some of that, and I'm also just now getting ready to look at some best practices stuff for the amount of contact you need to get a team ready. So I'm doing a lot of football stuff. I also sit down with our supervisor of officials, and we talk a lot about, and I talk to the national supervisor of officials, that you can't just put something in the game to officiate it that you can officiate. You got to make sure that it can be coached. So a rule change or any circumstance along those lines, I can be a go-between. Okay, here's how we're going to coach it. Can you call it this way? And then, or here's how you have to call it. Well, let's make sure all the coaches know that this is how we have to coach it. So you kind of see what I'm talking about, communications. I like to stay busy, and, you know, I've been crazy busy. It's you know, pretty phenomenal. And I do get some weekends. I don't know what to do with those, that's for sure. And that's been fun, because that now is family for me. And I hadn't had weekends for a long, 46 years of coaching. What can I say?
What can you say? We're joined by the great David Cutcliffe. Follow him on Twitter at David Cutcliffe. Coach, I'm glad to hear you talk about the mental health aspect of things. We had Todd Berry, the executive director of the AFCA, on. We've had current coaches. We've had former coaches. And I always ask them this question, and I look forward to your response. I'm concerned about the state of the profession, and you've alluded to it. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's year-round now. You recruit high school recruits. You recruit the portal. You recruit the guys you have on your roster. You don't get a day off anymore. And a lot of coaches are just throwing their hands up in the air, and they're saying, I don't need this. I've already made a ton of money. I'm either going to retire, or I'm going to go to the NFL, or I'm going to do something totally different. And I'm of the belief, Coach, I don't think the quality of the college football coach in 5 to 10 years will be as good as it is now or as it has been, simply because the best of the best are going to look for opportunities elsewhere. Am I off the reservation thinking that, or am I onto something?
No, I think you're spot on. We've already seen it with some coaches retiring, some maybe prematurely. You may see a bit more of that. It's you know, the term in college was never this, and now it is this, roster management. That sounds like an NFL term, doesn't it? You know, and now coaches are dealing with roster management. You mentioned it, recruiting your own players. And the mental health of the profession is not going to be very good. The thing, the saving grace has to be, and I talk to our coaches about this, you know, why did you get in this profession? And I contemplated hard. I had, you know, college opportunities, and I had some NFL opportunities. And the state of the union in college football right now, if I hadn't have taken this, I'd gone to the NFL, to be honest with you. But I struggle with that, because I got in this profession to make a difference in young people's lives. What I don't want to see taken away by anyone, and it's a shame that politics and so much legal has gotten involved with college football. We haven't been that broken, you know, and now we got politicians and people that, you know, that don't know or don't really understand the laws of unintended consequences. Veteran coaches can quickly tell you, you know, what this is going to do. Exactly what you just said. It's going to discourage good people from trying to get in this profession to make a difference in young people's lives. You got coaches dealing with agents now of 17-year-olds. There's nothing really right about that. And I'm not bashing NIL, and I'm not bashing the transfer portal, but it's never going to be back to what it was. But it doesn't have to stay the way it is right now. Let's be reasonable, and I think it's everybody. I think it is starts with coaches and being, you know, absolutely what you should be, and helping young people become what they want to become. But it's also administrators all the way to the presidents. It's fan bases. It's media. It's the players themselves and their families seeing what can I get out of this. It's not money we're chasing. You know what the most priceless thing there is in our youth is opportunity. You can't put a value on opportunity. It's endless if you learn to take advantage of it. People shouldn't give you something for nothing. That's not the opportunity we're talking about. So it's a serious time for serious people. And, you know, I'm talking to, as I said, as many people in Indianapolis, whoever will listen, I'm going to talk because I love what this business does for young people. I'm having a visit with one that played for us at Ole Miss. It's driving through Birmingham here in a little while. And, you know, this was a good while ago, but I have a great love for him, and I think he feels the same way. And that's what you do it for. It changed my life. Coaches did. I lost my dad in a wreck at 15, and if it weren't for coaches picking me up, I would have fallen all the way. So, yeah, it's a serious – I appreciate you saying that, but let's all be responsible. Let's think before we say, well, we should be doing this or we should be doing that. And here's one of my favorite lines I've always told our staff. None of us individually are as smart as all of us collectively. So when we can learn to do something as a football community, and I love the word community because community by community you can make change. And we've got to come together, all of the groups I just said. And it is important. Not that athletics is the most important part of the collegiate experience, but you know what? It's a big part of their education. And I deal with football, particularly football. So, I'm going to work on it every day. And I may not get anything done. I don't know. I'm not making any promises. But you can dang sure bet I'm going to be going at it, trying as hard as I can possibly try.
Coach, I'm sure this has come up. And I love hearing you talk about community, and I'm all for collaboration. But I think there needs to be a singular point, though, of where everything matriculates up and that person makes a decision. I'm talking about a commissioner or somebody, because right now we have the 10 different conferences at the FBS level. They have 10 different agendas, whether they want to admit it or not. And I'm wondering if we had one person who could unite it all together and then be a liaison in Washington or wherever they need to go. I mean, even Israel had a king. I'm wondering if we had that individual, would that help?
I think it could. I've thought that for years, that you have to have, you know, and there would be some burnout associated with that type of position. But there, you're absolutely right. People will go to a meeting and they got their institutional hat on without putting it on. And then people go to a meeting and they have their conference hat on without putting it on. There's not ever going to be complete parity, and there are going to be some people that have more controls than others and some have more resources than others. But you're right. Ultimately, you have someone that makes the final decision, and the final decision would never be popular with everyone. But what you hope is that you had somebody in a position that was a great listener, that had enough experience to put us in the best position we could be in collectively. And I hear you. You know, I talked to a group of five people. I talked to people in other conferences. I've talked to some directors of athletics in other conferences. I talked to Todd Berry. I try to keep my finger on the pulse. And I think I've done a pretty good job of not always wearing my institutional hat when I've been a part of the board or on any committee. And I have so many people I respect. We've got a lot of great administrators that have served on all of those various committees. But you're right. Nothing finally gets done. The consensus is there is no consensus because there's no final decision maker. And so a commissioner would be, a step in the right direction. And he could have a small board, you know, that he could select to work with, but ultimately somebody's got to make a decision. Roger Goodell gets booed every time he walks on the stage, but you know what? The NFL's been pretty successful under his watch, right? So it's all right. You know, find somebody that doesn't mind getting booed.
Well, you know, Coach, you make a good point because I'm thinking about that three-conference alliance. They collaborate, but at the end of the day, they're not beholden to vote the same way, even though they did with the playoff expansion. So that kind of backs up what you're saying. Coach, if you'd indulge me just a couple more minutes, I've got this idea, and I want to know if it's got legs or if I need to just go and be quiet, and it has to do with the transfer portal. And I hope you like what I'm hearing, but I know you'll be honest if you don't. I think every school, every athletic department should have a person, an independent third-party representative of the NCAA or whatever, like a compliance officer, whose role is merely to operate the transfer portal, to guide these kids. If they're going to enter the portal, then help them vet their options once they go into it and decide what's best for them. You know, help them go, not just because they'll make more NIL money, but they look at everything. The system works for them. It's geographically closer to their family. It'll help best prepare them for the pros or whatever. Do you think that's feasible? Could we ever see something like that?
Well, I think we have talked about that because that in itself is a mental health issue, that we do need someone dedicated to it. Here's the hard part. So who is a player going to trust? And you mentioned a third party. Somebody's got to pay these people, more than likely the institution. This person is going to be, you know, to some degree influenced by a head coach. I think counseling would have to be a part of that. I mean, when they're listening to somebody say, you can get this here or you can start here, you know, part of it goes back to we assign stars, 4, 5, whatever, to a young man that may not be ready to start in college football. I've seen a lot of really good players. Guess what? We redshirted Eli Manning. He's the first player taken in the draft, but he wasn't ready. I called his dad and told him, I'm going to redshirt him. And in this era, that would mean that Eli would have gotten the portal. It's not the answer. And, you know, you would have to have some really – that's a lot of schools and a lot of exceptional people. But I do think we need to educate our young people. And let's start with in high school. The worst thing we can do is have somebody in high school chasing money instead of choosing a place – where they believe they're going to be happiest, that they have good, trusting relationships built with the staff, that they've already got some good relationships with their future teammates that are there and some that are coming in with them, and that you're ready to stay the course. You know, the portal, I think in our league it was like 16% got in. Well, okay, let's talk about that. There's 84% that think they're in the right place. Their mental health matters. You know, their well-being matters. You can't just jump off the ledge because some people are jumping in the portal. But, yes, you're right. We do need counseling and effective way to communicate. And then I think we need to understand that when you invite third parties, it's like football recruits scholastically, and I am determined we stay that way, meaning we only go into the high schools. There's no summer recruiting, no third parties involved. Whatever we can do to get third parties out of recruiting, we have to do that. You know, as a head football coach, I would not deal with third parties. I'm dealing with parents and high school coaches. Well, coach, that I don't care. Then let the kid go somewhere else. He's not our kind of person. So, you know, we also, that's what I mean by everybody. A coach has got to step up with all of this as well. And then keeping your coaches on campus enough if a guy's a third teamer, is it his fault? If he's not a bad football player, he wouldn't be a scholarship football player. But also give him attention and time and development on and off the field. And I know this is kind of way off the charts, but you know what? That's what coaches are called to do. Every position coach I ever had, you're the head coach of your position. You know everything about his life, what he's doing, when the girl breaks up with him, how many parking tickets he got last semester, what's the stress that he's showing from home. I mean, that's the only way I call those touches, right? You got to have touches. It's got to be about a relationship. So you got me started on a tangent, but I can't help it. This is what's important to me. I've been coaching the same way that I was taught when I was young. And I'm adjusting and I'll change, but there are values that are involving character and integrity that everybody's responsible for, including the player. Be truthful. Step up. You know, we want to teach them to be young men. Let's teach them to be young men, too.
Coach, so, I agree.
There you go.
I agree with you 100%, and I know you got to find that amount of time, but this is something that I tell people often. It goes back to my days as a columnist. It goes on here to being a radio host. And you have these coaches who say, well, I didn't know. You know, they got something going on in the dorm. You know, they're bringing in girls or whatever, or guys getting paid money. I didn't know. And I don't know what's worse, Coach, to lie or to genuinely not know. I think both of them are egregious and acceptable.
They are, and you know what? I think the lie is worse. You can be surprised. We can all get shocked. We're not perfect. And if you don't know, then you better go reevaluate your process and your staff's process, because we have to be involved. I've always told our coaches, you know, when players are legislated away from us, it's the most difficult time, our current players, difficult time they're going to have. And so you have to stay in touch. You got to double up right there with the phone. And you know, nowadays there's no excuse. We've got it. And I know coaching is hard. And, you know, I got in it making no money, and now it's gone off the charts because of television and the market went crazy, but that may have been what hurt us the most. It's got us on this slippery slope. But regardless, what you're being paid, you got a job to do, and you're talking about young people's lives, that should be enough. That's a lot of responsibility, isn't it?
Really is, Coach. He's the great David Cutcliffe. Coach, I could talk to you all day, but I know you got things to do because you are, and make sure I get it right, the Special Assistant to the Commissioner for Football Relations, the Traveling Secretary, Regional Manager.
There you go. That's it. Me and Dwight Schrute need to go out to dinner. I know that at some point we got to do that. You know what? I may go to the beet farm and just see if I can stay in the bed and breakfast at the beet farm. How does that sound?
With Cousin Mose.
Yeah. I'm a little frightened by him, though. You know? We'll see.
You can follow him on Twitter at David Cutcliffe. Coach, I always value your time. I always value the conversation. I hope we can get you back on very soon.
All right. Take good care.
All righty, buddy. That's David Cutcliffe, former head coach Ole Miss, former head coach Duke University, now special assistant to the Commissioner for Football Relations. I told him his business card is an index card. Always thoughtful, always value my time with Coach Cutcliffe, one of the real gentlemen in the sport. Excellent segment.